The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Friday and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today as we continue a discussion about culture. Actually, Compartmentalize. Yes, that word, yeah. Right? Because I want to focus particularly on Bay Street, but with the term culture being the thrust of the conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm going to now veer in to a specific part of Bay Street. I'm going to veer in toward the amphitheater or the cruise port. Mm-hmm. This conversation that I'm going to have for half an hour, because we have the Acklands Trade Association coming on the other half an hour, I want to concentrate on the space called the cruise port. Mm-hmm. And by extension, I mean the amphitheater section of the cruise port. All right. My conversation is occupying the space. Who should occupy the space? Now, I know it's a private entity. Private entity means that they have investors who has a bottom line, and their bottom line is to make profit. Right. So it's not a donated charitable space. It's a space that's supposed to generate money.
Revenue. Yeah.
Right? But now, as I set up Aaron to respond to me, there's a question whether whose tourism, that's what she asked yesterday, whose tourism product is it? Right? Is tourism belonging to the Bohemian people and that we are showcasing ourselves, or it belongs to the private investors? Right. Right?
Or does it belong to the government?
Or does it belong to the government?
And is it their tool to use to sell the Bahamas?
Yes. And that's what I'm going to have the conversation line on. But again, we're talking about a particular space. Whether ordinary Bohemians can demand, suggest, product, push forward the idea that the space called the cruise port, even though we know there's a private space, the space where they have the amphitheater, should it be made available primarily for Bohemians to showcase their talent, mm-hmm. primarily for the showcasing of Bohemian culture, primarily for access to tourism, because now that is the showcase of what we showcase as the Bahamas. Because, you know, just recently we saw the government giving tour of the cruise port and saying that's the epitome of Bohemian culture
the cultural experience.
Yeah. So now that has become Mecca. That becomes the Bohemian Mecca for cultural exposition, mm-hmm. right? So now we're talking about the space itself.
All right.
Yesterday, I'm going to get you now, Aaron.
Yeah, yeah.
You said that there is enough talent and creativity in the Bahamas that something could be done every day in that space. And I said, no, it can't be every day. It got to be every other day and only when the tourists are there. So if there's no cruise ship in port, the port needs to be closed.
So pause. No. First of all, it's a money-making venture, which means that if we could generate money when cruise passengers aren't there, we should. We got a whole bunch of other tourists who are in the country, right? And it should be made accessible to them as well. But let me start with this quote from the Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation from an article. I found it in an article, Reimagine Nassau Cruise Port Opens its Doors, from a website, Cruise Industry News, 2nd of June, 23. Quote, the new Nassau Cruise Port offers a whole new experience for cruise visitors, said I. Chester Cooper, and Minister of Tourism, Investments and Aviation. Not only will Bahamian culture shine through all aspects of the port, But the completion of the project marks a great milestone in ushering a new era for tourism in town Nassau, as well as a beautiful welcome for the millions of cruisers who disembark here each year. So I want to make a couple of, I want to highlight a couple of things he said, right? Not only will Bahamian culture shine through all aspects of the port, stick a pin, the completion of the project marks a great milestone in ushering a new era for tourism in downtown Nassau. That's point number two. And then thirdly, as well as a beautiful welcome for the millions of cruisers who disembark here each year. So the first thing is, I'm going to presume that the Minister of Tourism sees or expects all aspects of Bahamian culture through all of the port, right? So this idea that there isn't a space for Bahamians, or that the space for Bahamians should be smaller, we should expect it not to be the whole, is ridiculous, right? The second point, a new era for tourism in downtown Nassau. The port is not just for cruise passengers. The port is not just for the port itself, right? It's a symbiotic relationship. And so we're hoping that eventually the port will have activities that can draw tourists from the mega resorts, the all-inclusives, the Airbnbs, the smaller resorts, the island houses, right? In fact, we're hoping that at its peak, we have people who come in to a family island, maybe via boat, maybe via plane. That's their primary, their first stop. And they end up saying, you know what? We got to hop over to Nassau. We could just hop over to Nassau and catch that concert. We could go hop over to Nassau and see Phil Stubbs in concert, because everybody on the island we own playing Phil Stubbs. Right at the height of it, there should be the symbiotic partnership. It's not just for cruise passengers. And then the third point is, as well as a beautiful welcome for the millions of cruisers. And it just, it's a slight, it's a nuance. You see they're juxtaposed behind.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They are, it's a secondary consideration.
So far, mm-hmm. we know that the operators, the managers, the owners of the cruise port has made the port available for concerts and Bohemian concerts. They had free concerts
right.
on the weekend.
In fact, they have an event scheduled for tonight called Bahama Life, mm-hmm. a Bahamian cultural showcase, mm-hmm. right? A fanciful modern take on our cultural history and a playful celebration of our festivals.
And a number of these festivals and showcases tend to be free. You
right.
just need to show up.
This one is $10 for adults, $5 for students with an ID, and 12 and under for free.
Good.
Yeah.
My interrogation is, and not pressing the issue beforehand to say, well, give them a chance, not giving them a chance to
yeah.
do it, right? Is that enough? Now, this is a night activity,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saying that there are times when the port is closed. And the port is closed, when I say it's closed to everybody,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is a broad daylight, and it's closed because the cruise ship isn't in.
Yeah, it shouldn't be closed.
And that's my question.
Right.
Should it always be open, and should there always be activity?
Right now, there are a lot of considerations, right? What are the sort of dynamics they use to sort of calculate the rent, the value of the shop space there, right? Because if I'm a vendor and I'm renting the space there, I want the shop to be open every day. I want every day the opportunity to make money, even if I have to rely on my own marketing, right? I imagine what the port is saying is that it doesn't make sense to open on these days because you're not going to generate the traffic needed to hit your marks. But am I only paying for certain days? Am I only, as a vendor, am I only paying? So if the port is closed on a Tuesday, do I have to pay rent on a Tuesday? If the port is closed on a Thursday, do I have to pay rent on a Thursday? If I do have to pay rent for all of the days, whether the port is open or not, then open the port and let me rely on my own marketing and my own ingenuity and initiative to drive customers to the space. See, that's a part of the concern, and people say, but hey, are these guys really partners, right? Because the concern is there. How could you be a partner in the downtown tourism product if you close on certain days? You can't just be limited to cruise passengers. And then the second point is with a 3,500 seat, that's 3,500 seat amphitheater, right? How are you filling that? Because you could fill it. We go back to the former point you made. Mm-hmm. I would compare us to Cuba and say, because when I went to Cuba, every restaurant, like every spot, every sort of high-end major restaurant had performers, they had cultural performers. In fact, they had some restaurants for the evening, they had a whole show, right? They had a whole review of artists. That's Cuba. I'm saying commensurately per capita, we have roughly the same number of entertainers available to us to inform or infuse into our tourism product. We have enough artisans. We have enough cultural performers. We got the... If you want to speak or I could go to...
No, go ahead.
We got cultural performers. We got storytellers. We've got the drummers who also partner with the storytellers. We've got like the String City violinists and I think there's another little violin group that does performances. The students perform. We've got like the chorales and the choirs, the high-end classical music, the bel canto singers. I mean, the Nassau Music Society.
So this is where I stop you here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would be responsible for the access? Do they go through the port and book it? Or because they are artisans and they have talent, right? Mm-hmm. Do they just show up and perform?
Right. Obviously, there has to be a system. There has to be a way to identify artists to perform. We got to have artisans present ideas to a committee. Mm-hmm. We starting to talk like government, but this, you need a structure, right? So I would want people to present a whole review, like a whole year worth of programming. Let me see what a year worth of programming looks like to you. So they wouldn't necessarily be the regular artists. They may be the cultural stakeholders that organize shows, right? That organize artists. What does a year of programming look like? So I'd like to have about five or a minimum of five or six submissions. But this is what a year of programming would look like if I designed it, right? And then we pull the best ideas out of there. We'll have like how Shakespeare in Paradise did a year of, and the Dundas did a year of programming for the 50th Independence. So we're talking about like that. So you'd have that type of thing where you could have plays scheduled out for a year, plays, improv, comedy, stage, play. Then you can have even film. You could present the best film of the year, right? Then you could have sort of a open, so more of a talent search vibe where new artists come up. They may not perform for the first time at the amphitheater, but you have a side event for your talent search where people can compete. The audience chooses the top five to compete in this month's new talent, right? All kinds of programming available for the space.
The government doesn't manage the cruise port,
right,
itself. It's privately managed,
right?
They have an agenda. Like I said, it's a for-profit organization. But across the street is Pompey Square. Similar, mm-hmm, in space, mm-hmm, right? And every so often they tend to have events also.
Yeah, Creative Nassau would host at least one or two different style events there. One is like a craft market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Bahamians in general will claim that there aren't enough things being done on Bay Street, that Shoal Hill, mm-hmm, and giving them access to tourism.
Yeah.
And knowing that Pompey Square is there and that is not being utilized to the fullest capacity of having the National Youth Choir performing daily.
I think
having performances there daily.
Yeah.
How do we expect the port in turn say, but I want that. That too can add to my...
Because I tell you, let's look at it. I think the stumbling block there is tension around competition. I think a lot of the business owners in that area see activities taking place as drawing away from what they have to offer. For a lot of businesses, all they have to offer is rum and AC and shade. Really, they're playing canned music. They're not featuring Bahamian artists live in their establishments, right? Certainly not in the daytime. And so what people are talking about is two things. A lack of access to Bay Street. Is Bay Street zoned? Can artisans afford to maintain a space there to host it? Pompey Square is, Ministry of Tourism, mm-hmm. right? Do they have access to the square to organize their own events and curate the space for their events, right? So that's one part of access. Another part of access is, okay, so I know I could go stand on the street corner and make music. I mean, I could have before I was defined as a vermin-type mm-hmm. character on Bay Street. But they're talking about all of this open space. Why don't we have organized buskers? But we have so much open green mixed space, green and tile, green and asphalt. Why aren't these spaces occupied by artisans and musicians busking, right? Well, because they're being policed out of the space because somebody has a particular vision for Bay Street. And those of us who don't fit into that well-manicured vision, right, are run out of the space.
You don't believe Bay Street needs to be manicured?
Yes, Bay Street should be curated. Slightly different tone. They should be curated, not manicured.
See, and you mentioned the open space, because with the Ministry of Tourism bulldozing a number of spaces now, mm-hmm. there's a number of vacant lots. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the narrative that they plan to put trees there, right? On these private properties temporarily.
To soak up the water?
Hopefully it soak up some water, right? Because it's Bay Street flood still. Mm-hmm. But the interactiveness of culturalists, interactive or persons who perform the arts, mm-hmm. there's no narrative of that as yet.
You all
will be here doing this at a particular time, and who will pay them? Will it be off tips, or will the Ministry of Tourism be responsible for employing?
Will there be a stipend for people who have been formally elected, appointed, voted, selected for the program? Are people able to then busk and ask for tips, right? Tips dependent on performance, dependent on the personal position of the tipper. These are things that should be encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Right? So we have a critique here from a texter. Uh-huh. And I could explain the reason why, but I'll read it mm-hmm. so the listening audience can hear what's the critique from it, right? So good morning. The other day, I tried to enter the cruise port and I was stopped by a security officer and supervisor and was told I can't enter. Then the text continued, the cruise port looks like a prison with chain links, fencing, and security officers. And it's a private property, right?
It can't be a private property.
The cruise port is a private property.
Pause. This is the fund. No,
you don't think the cruise port is a private property?
This is a fundamental issue, right? And this is an issue that people were trying to raise long time, but understandably so, people were in financial crisis and were clinging at anything that seemed like big, sustainable money. How could a port of entry be private property? Now, you could tell me this is a government, right? It's a government facility, and thus there are restrictions on entry and access, right? You could tell me that. But how could the port be a private entity? What type of plantation are we? And that's one thing, because I don't mind being a plantation. My problem is everybody demanding they get paid like free people, but this is a plantation.
And I believe that you are misconstruing the definitions of the port. There is a welcome center, which is where we're talking about when you said the
cruise
port.
So how do you get to the official government facility?
There's a security gate there beyond the welcome center. That's the port itself, or port proper, which has government officials and customs where you cannot enter.
I appreciate
that. I don't think the text is meaning that.
I appreciate the nuance that you have raised just now. And I double down and say to you, it is ridiculous that any port or any facility on the port would be allowed to restrict access entirely. Of course, there are areas that the general public cannot enter. They're private offices, right? Of course, there are areas. Mm-hmm. But what do you mean that access is completely and totally cut off?
I'm assuming that the port was closed that day, and he wanted access to roam around while nothing was open.
See, I can understand, but why is the port closed? See, that's the problem. I can understand the port is closed, and so nobody could get on it. Why is it closed? Do we have any, as a country, at the state level, do we have any economic partnership? Are we partners in this venture? Have we put any money into it? Have we been able to invest money into it? How is it then that I'm a vendor and I'm renting a space there and you're telling me that I can only sell my goods when the port is open and the port is not going to be open every day? Who's the tourism product for?
Have another text says, in reference to the port's space, it's late to ask these questions. I don't say too late, but hold on.
That's cool, because I've been asking these questions for months and months and months and months and months and months and months. I reach you, Dexter.
He said, I've seen a number of people promising big things and big money, and all I have are questions. When the port was on the radio, all my questions were around why everything in there. Why did we allow it? We'll find it difficult to say now. You have to share this with us. Is theirs and their profit in large. At best, we can hope is for a breadcrumbs. And I think that's over-exaggerating. But I hear the texter. I hear the concern. But we have alternative on bay. I mentioned Pompey Square. I mentioned the new spaces that they are carving out now. But my problem is there's no narrative of what these spaces are going to be used for.
We don't know. The spaces exist, but for whom?
And for
right?
whom?
Who are they for? I have a big problem with the port. How is there a taxi service of any kind on the port? How? Mm-hmm. How? Mm-hmm. How? See, this is what I need to know. Where was the gap? Who's been asleep for 50 years? Mm-hmm. Who has not seen the diminishing influence of the taxi union? Who has not told taxi drivers yet that they are not the be-all and end-all of the Bahamas? Because taxi drivers today operate like the taxi drivers of old who put people like Sir Orville Turnquest through university on straw market money. I mean, the straw market vendors of old who put their children through the best universities on straw market money. But you're going to tell me now, with all of this huffing and puffing of the chest and back and forth and bantering between the taxi cab union and the minister responsible, right, that all of a sudden the port has a whole taxi station on it? And you telling me that that taxi station is also closed when the port is closed?
Who they taxi in?
None of the taxis focus on Bahamians, man. I mean, maybe seven of y'all. I mean, there are a handful of you that are dedicated, but not for bougie people like me. See, that's the best part. Mm-hmm. Here I am. I know that there are taxi drivers that cater to Bahamians. I know this, right? Mm-hmm. But not to Bahamians like me. They're going to tell me, Miss Green, you could afford a car.
Mm-hmm. Everyone in Texas said, more than likely, that person probably went to the wrong gate. I've visited the port on numerous occasions, and there are some gates you just can't enter. That's the response to that person.
But wouldn't somebody have told them you have to enter from the other gate?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people raising concern that the gates that are supposed to be opened aren't open, right? I just want to understand why did we don't see these things as urgent. It's because we believe that we should not have access to the space, at least some of us. Some of y'all don't need to even be in here. But how could a port, how could anything that's allowed to be designated a port be restricted to the citizens of the country the port exists in? It is antithetical to democracy, to freedom, to modern politics. See, that's why some of us around here, we're not dashikis, right?
I always get concerned when you try to dictate to private enterprise. I see we have a caller here.
I get concerned when private enterprise tries to dictate to me and my country.
I have a text that says, good morning, Cecil Aaron in Bahamas. Outside of the port, the cruise port itself, exists a street that could become a good income earner for Bahamians to explore and to utilize, not just for the big timers, but for the small man, as we like to say. Furthermore, if the vehicle traffic can be brought under control and a particular street is branded
I tell you that would surely be a wonderful and exciting avenue, more than it is now.
You named this. You named the street. Did they name the street in there?
They're talking about Bay Street. Okay. They're trying to close down Bay
no,
Street.
No, no, we don't like that. Also, I wanted to talk quickly about one concert.
Okay, let me
yeah.
Call is there.
I have to wait till Monday.
Go ahead, Carla.
It's just burning in my spirit.
Carla, can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary. Good morning, Aaron Cuz.
Morning, Cuz.
Listen, talking about the port, they do close if there's no ship in harbor. I noticed because I went in there one time when they was having something and there's a shop in there that I like. And I went back the following day to purchase the item in the middle of the day. And they tell me as long as there's no ship in, the port is closed to traffic. Well, it's closed until there's a ship in. So the person at the gate, security gate, told me that you can only come in when there's ship in the harbor. Outside of that, you're not allowed in.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the person was saying, but wrong gate. If it's the wrong gate, they just tell you, because I've been there before. I went to the gate, and they said, oh, no, entrance is at that gate.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been there on a few occasions. And, yes, it is closed when there's no ship in the harbor.
Okay, thank you very much, cousin.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, but you wanted to talk about a particular concert, right? It was going to be more likely held in the Bahamas, and you more like you said, it might be better to be at the port itself.
Well,
but you wanted to do the economics of it.
Just quickly, somebody say they bring in Burna Boy to the Bahamas. In fact, I've seen a flyer. They call it Burna in Paradise. When I say, but can Burna really get here? What will it take to have a successful concert with Burna Boy? The boy say he charged $500,000 a show. He got to have 10 cars taking him from the airport wherever he go. His hotel room got to have 4 extra rooms in it. One got to be a smoke. The boy say he canceled, he refused to do a show in Dubai because they wouldn't let him smoke weed there. Who this boy, who will cover the fine? When they have to fine all 85 of his members of his crew for smoking marijuana. So I figured, well, how could that possibly happen here? Who could afford the tickets? How many people would you need to come to the concert for it to be affordable? And then I thought, well, the amphitheater is 3,500 seats, right? Would that be enough? And how much would they have to charge 3,500 people to have a successful event and to cover their thing? And that's what sort of drew up the amphitheater. Because I thought, you know what? We got a wonderful opportunity here to expand the tourism product. If I were the cruise port, I would be sitting down right now with my country's largest event and concert promoters and organizers, the 2 mega resorts, the cruise ships, with the port, right, to figure out if we could do a grand concert series, right, where we have 3 venues because we got to figure out how to generate enough cash to pay the artists, these high-end artists. The amphitheater could actually be the center of bringing overnight cruising back to the Bahamas, right? Imagine if you have a 3-part concert series, you start off at the port, then you move over to Atlantis, and then you go to Bahama, and then either at the Carnival Grounds at Thomas A. Robinson or at Fort Charlotte, you have your big screen, so people who can't afford to get into the concert could still pay a ticket to go watch the concert on the big screen. 3 venues, 4 venues, 1 slate of world-class artists makes it affordable for Bahamians to see the event. But you also, for a guy like Burna, you got to target an East Coast and a Southeast Coast market. You have to rely on tourists and cruise passengers to make that type of concert viable.
Texas say they'll make a killing off liquor sales. Don't worry about that. But if we're going to take a break as we transition to Atkins Trade and Development Association, they're here. That's BJ Morse. I have 1 or 2 texts I want to read on the record so people can hear their opinions on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll take a commercial break right now. And when we come back, we'll talk about what's happening in Atkins right now.
Okay.
Right? We'll be right back.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious boy, this real serious boy.
But what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Every day, countless Bahamians fall asleep hungry. But by working together, we can change this.
AML has committed $20,000 to provide nutritious meals for those in need during the holiday season.
As the holidays approach, help spread love and hope by supporting AML's 8th annual Feed 5000 program.
Donate today at any Solomon's, Fresh Market, Crossright, Exuma Market, and Domino's Pizza.
And welcome back to Guyan Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, we have B.J. Moss with us from the Acklands Trade and Development Association. And we just want to finish our last concept by having Aaron read up these texts. And I'm going to ask B.J., what's happening with the association?
Well, good morning, Cecil. Good morning, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Bahamas. Well, this association is celebrating 50 years this month, and we have decided to celebrate. We're celebrating this month of November as Acklands Recognition Month, where we intend to highlight Acklands, its people, and their accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
The crowning jewel in that is the 18th of the month. We would have a gala recognition ball at Super Club Breezes under patronage of Prime Minister Davis.
Okay.
And then, but we kick off this Sunday with a service of Thanksgiving at Hillside Baptist Church on Independence Highway, 10:30 Sunday morning.
So, Sunday morning, this Sunday we're coming?
This Sunday, yes.
And at Hillside Baptist Church. And who are you intended to attend this?
Well, we're asking for all Acklands Islanders, anyone of Acklands descent, to attend.
You sent a letter to Jerry Roker?
You can't find him in town.
I know where he is.
Because I was searching all day.
I didn't find out where he was.
Yeah, okay.
So give me that little bit of information then.
Yes, I can't do it on air, but I'll let you know.
I understand.
Okay.
So if people want to get more information about your celebration, the 50th anniversary of the Acklands Trade Association, right, where can they contact you to say, okay, I want to be a part of this?
Okay. Easiest way, send us an email to acklandsassociation14@gmail.com. acklandsassociation14@gmail.com. And we will, or you can call 427-4056.
Let's go over the list of events that you have planned, right, for the celebration. I hear that Sunday is going to kick off the celebration. You're going to have a church service. Church service just meaning the praise and worship with God. Anything else happening on that day?
No, we nothing else is happening other than you will be able to connect with a number of our honorees will be in attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is an opportunity for Acklands Islanders to come together and to meet these people, because one of the things that we are finding out is that a lot of us don't know the people from Acklands.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that we don't know them, we don't know the significance of their contribution to the building of this nation. And so, for instance, we have a founding father that will be there. And I know for me, whenever I sit and speak with the Honorable A. Loftus Roker. I have to try to tear myself away. He is an encyclopedia of information. I mean, and he is lucid. It's good stuff. So that is the opportunity that's going to exist there. And then we are going to have the week of the 13th through the 17th. We are going to have a grand display in Rosen Square, where we will have a display of all of our honorees.
So you partner with Ministry of Tourism to make this thing happen?
No, there wasn't a partnership with Ministry of Tourism. There's not a partnership with Ministry of Tourism, no. But I just got information. Now, this is already in the public domain, so I have to say this. Also, a part of that display was supposed to be a demonstration extracting cascarilla oil from the bark. But just got information just before coming on air that they're informed that the machine will not work properly in the open air. So we are going to have to try to see if we could get an enclosed.
Well, no. Here's what you could do. You can record it. And you saw the big screen that they had up on the edge of Parliament Square in the northwest quadrant of Parliament Square during the independence celebration. If you can't bring the machine out, you can document, make a small mini documentary of the process.
There you go.
And then display it on the big screen on Parliament Square.
Sound like you got some Acklin's blood.
Just a whole lot. Only a whole lot.
Because only Acklin's person could think about that. I mean, just like that, on the dime.
Yeah. No, she's the idea woman on the show.
Yeah, no, that is an excellent idea.
Yeah.
Excellent. I will be speaking with Reverend Williamson on that as soon as we leave here.
So what else is happening?
Yeah. No, so, and as I said, we're going to organize. We are still in the process of organizing a good mix and mingle. So the date isn't set for that yet. Mm-hmm. We have a number of courtesy calls. One of the things we have decided to do is to call on, first of all, every single parliamentarian that has some Acklin's blood running through their vein. We're going to do that. Because in speaking with one of our honorees, he said to me, he said, BJ, you know, what you all doing is past overdue, you know. I said, what? He said, no, man. He said, people do not understand the significance of the significant role that Acklin's Islanders have played in building this nation.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and this is an opportunity for the conversation to start. So what we're going to do is call on them so that we can help them to start getting this conversation moving.
All right.
Because it is time for Acklin's to move to the head of the class. Because that's where when you think about the persons that, well, look at our honorees who came from there, mm-hmm. and their contribution to this country.
And when you look at history, you realize that the capital wasn't always in New Providence, right? Mm-hmm. Nassau is in New Providence. Yeah. It wasn't always in New Providence, right? We've had capital in Ragged. I think we've had the capital in Inagua. I imagine we may have had the capital, I won't say in Acklin's because my head big.
In Long Key,
right? My head big. That a lot of people from those places would be prominent in governance.
Absolutely.
Where can we find a list of who's being honored?
I should have brought a list with me, but I could start running down.
Okay, we're going to take this call and then want you to start running down. Because I want people to come out and celebrate these people. But we need to know the names of the people to come and celebrate. Mm-hmm. Especially if they're going to be out on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I want to come out and say, okay, I always want to meet this particular person. I want to reach out and say, well, be family.
Let you know they can be there humorously and posthumously. Oh.
Yes.
Go speak there. So let me speak to this person and then we'll go through this. Let me speak to this person and we'll go through your list. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Turn on your radio.
Good morning, Aaron, and good morning to the guests at studios.
Morning.
I would just like to say congratulations to the effort to recognize persons from Acklin's. Of course, Nuri, you know, yourself and myself We are the children of descendants from Michael area, in particular Acklins and Crooked Island. And Erin, you are so right that there are many Acklinders as well as persons from Crooked Island who has successfully helped to build and shape this country to where it is today. The Delaware clan, from where I'm from, the Ferguson clan, who is also a part of us, the Farquharsons, and we could go down the line, the mm-hmm. Hannah Hasty Tynes and Corleys and Benebys.
Mm-hmm.
All of these are families that have helped to build this country to where it is today. And we as Crooked Islanders, we celebrate with the person from Acklins in this recognition. And I feel that because our families are so close and intertwined between both islands, I believe this is a perfect opportunity for persons from both Acklins, Crooked Island, Long Key, and we could go down Inagua and Miguel as well, where many of our families also do reside. I think this is a perfect time that the Southern Bahamas, the descendants from the Southern Bahamas, are really recognized for the contributions that they have made to successful nation building. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll continue to listen. Any way I can help, feel free to give me a call.
Bring some of your technical services there to record some things there, Jeff. But yes, I'll make sure he knows who you are. But go ahead. I need to find out who all is being honored.
Okay.
How many people are being honored, by the way?
50.
Okay, so there's 50 names you can try and get off your head.
50. I can remember.
Just call the ones I related to.
Okay. You related to everybody. Go ahead.
Get them all.
Go ahead.
You see, and the number is 50 because the Acklins Trade and Development Association is celebrating its 50th year this month.
Okay.
And so we decided that we would identify 50 persons of Acklins descent and recognize and honor them for their contribution to the building of this nation. And you do not have a nation without a father of the nation. So we start with Sir Lyndon.
He from Acklins? I just check in. Cause
Mason's Bay.
If I could find Jerry Roker, it could be him, between him and Loftus Roker.
Yes, his mother is Viola Bain, Mason's Bay.
All right.
And then we Bahamians like to talk about Bahamianization and this and that, but they don't know the architect of the Bahamianization policy.
Mm-hmm.
One Honorable Arthur D. Hanna, Pompey Bay Acklins. He's the first Deputy Prime Minister, but Acklins is the only island in the archipelago with the distinction of having three signatures on the constitutional document.
Mm-hmm.
The only island, that's
Hanna, Roker, and Finland.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Indisputable. Nobody else. So
let's get some women's names.
Then, in the history of the Department of Immigration, they've only had two female directors.
Yes.
Both of them?
From Acklins?
Acklins.
So I know, I can tell you right now, Mrs. Barbara Hannah Pierre is one of them.
And she is also the longest serving director in the history of immigration.
Wow.
The second director would be Mrs. Keturah Ferguson.
Also from Acklins.
Chester's.
Hey! Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that. All of this Acklins.
Acklins. And then what we decided, Acklins has given this country two first ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Two. In the person of Mrs. Bernadette Christie, and then Mrs. Patricia Minnis.
Well, look at that.
Acklins, okay? So we are honoring them for lending this country their husbands.
First ladies, okay.
Yes.
And then let's not forget, I just got to throw this name in there. Let us recognize from this moment on Beryl Hannah. I just want to say Beryl Hannah should just, y'all just adopt her. Because from Beryl Hannah come down there and tell them the queen. The queen tell me, she send me straight here to tell you all to vote PLP. She is an Acklins Islander, man.
Yes. You know, I had the fortune of meeting and knowing Miss Hannah.
Wow.
She is a phenomenal woman.
Yeah.
And our clients would be happy to adopt her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I watched Miss Hannah campaign in the streets of Kemp Road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like no Bahamian woman. Mm-hmm. I mean, she
was on the ground.
Yes, man.
Let's get some more names.
Okay. And so then we have our two former commissioners of police.
Okay.
Reginald Ferguson, Paul Farquharson.
Okay.
Dame Alberta Isaacs. Excuse me, getting a little flustered. But a lot of times we look at names and we say, from our clients, we're looking for Hannah, Hasty, Dine. But we forget that these women
married into family.
Married and name got changed. But Dame Alberta Isaacs,
See, now that's why this conversation about a woman maintaining her maiden name in some form, right, is also about the lineage and keeping the name alive. It's not about diminishing or emasculating the husband or his family. That's why some women choose to keep the maiden name.
I understand that. And then we are honoring Mr. Garvin Tynes posthumously. All right.
Yes.
You know, also the Honorable Fred Mitchell. They don't understand. They don't know that Fred Mitchell is from Auckland. We're also honoring Mr. Marvin Dames, Mr. Shenandoah Cartwright. These are
people. Auckland's people.
Auckland's.
See why community is so important? Because when you got to call somebody cousin, then you learn to moderate your speech and your behavior for
exactly.
the whole. That's why community is so important.
Exactly.
Yes,
sir. It is. And I mean, as you look at our honorees, we have His Excellency, Wendell Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Also, His Excellency, V. Alfred Gray.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have Her Excellency, Sharon Lady Wilson,
mm-hmm.
also, and you know, mm-hmm. so, and then we have Dr. Eugene Nuri, the first Bahamian neurosurgeon.
Finally, a Nuri name getting called.
Hey.
That's good.
No, and we are, I'm trying to go, King Eric Gibson, we have Rupert Cox from Rupert and the Rolling Coins. I bet you all don't remember
what?
That.
What? Over so. Okay.
Yes. And the we are going to be entertained at the ball
mm-hmm.
by the police pub band.
Okay.
Okay. And Rupert Cox is on record as saying to me,
that he can perform?
Once the band strike up,
he can be there.
He can
come.
How
much for the ticket? How much for the ticket? Just tell me how much for the ticket.
The tickets are $200.
Okay.
And where is it going to be held again?
Super Club Breezes.
Okay, nice. So this is going to be nice dress up type day.
Black tie.
Yes. Dancing and partying.
We will dance to the police pub band.
Nice.
And they will be, I don't know if you, well, you all would know, Carolyn Vogt. She is now a magistrate,
yeah.
but she's also a choreographer.
Okay.
And she's choreographing an opening piece for us with a medley of King Eric and Rupert's music.
Nice.
What? That could be very
this is
nice.
Who's who in the Bahamas, actually?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Somebody needs to play Can't Find Jerry Roke in Town. Please. I will have to. Anyway, $200 is a lot of money, but it's so important.
What's the date for the event? The grand event.
The gala is
the 18th of November.
Super Breezes. Super Club Breezes,
yes.
So let's go over the date. I know Sunday we have the church service.
Yes, Sunday is the church service, and then the week of the 13th to the 17th, we'll be in Parliament Square.
We'll be in the Parliament Square.
Yes.
And next event will be the gala.
The gala. Now, incorporated in this is going to be something in Auckland's we are going to be, we are waiting, just signing off documents and stuff to get the date sorted out. But we will be, the Acklands Trade and Development Association, the owners of the fire engine that you see sitting at that airport in Acklands, like you can't move. Well, we are officially turning it over to the people who fight fires for a living. We're turning it over to the police.
Okay.
So we'll have a ceremony down there turning that.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Yes.
The most basic, most important thing, fire truck.
Yes.
That's the basic.
How the Acklands Trade Association reached out to the various families, like the House of Collie, Hannah Hasty Tynes group, the Ferguson's group.
We have as best we can. And what we are doing right now is really reaching out and asking for them to come on board.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's go through the dates quickly. We're just about out of time. On Sunday the 5th,
yes,
Thanksgiving service at Hillside Baptist Church.
Yes, and we're asking all Acklands Islanders
to come out. On the 18th of November is the Gala Ball.
Yes.
And then from the 13th through the 17th of November, we'll have a display in Rawson Square, and hopefully a display of Cascarilla production.
Yes.
And
At the very least, we would have Cascarilla information
available for people,
and be able to direct them, hopefully, to where they can. Well, we're going to have that screen.
Right. There you go. The Acklands Island and Trade and Development Association is celebrating 50th years of existence. You can reach out to them at acklandsassociation14@gmail.com, 427-4056. Again, 427-4056. To contact Mr. B.J. Moss for more details and how to be there, how to support, how to get your family at the table for this wonderful week of events. Mr. Newry, we ain't got time to read the text, man.
Monday's another day.
There you go.
Monday's another day.
There you
this
go.
This has been Guiding Radio with the AM with C.A. Newry. Thank you very much for B.J. Moss for passing through. Acklands, what's the right name?
Acklands Trade and Development Association, the oldest island association in the Commonwealth. Okay.
And thank you very much, Aaron Green. Thank you very much, Bahamas. Have a wonderful day.
I'd have been jealous if you had this conversation without me.
Yeah.